Hey, it's Gabe. I want to recommend a podcast I think you'll enjoy called What Could Go Right. On What Could Go Right, the hosts, Progress Network founder Zachary Carabel and executive director Emma Varva Lucas, sit down with expert guests to discuss the world's most pressing issues. They look back at how far society has come and look forward to what it will take to achieve a brighter future. If you're looking for a weekly dose of optimistic ideas from smart people, listen to What Could Go Right wherever you get your podcasts.
What if AI could help your business deliver mission-critical outcomes with speed? With IBM Consulting, your business can design, build, and scale trusted AI using Watson X and modernize the way you work to accelerate real impact. Let's create AI that transforms your business. Learn more at ibm.com/consulting. IBM. Let's create.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
The Kakadu plum is an Australian native superfood containing 100 times more vitamin C than oranges. So why have you never heard of it? PR. No one's drinking a Kakadu smoothie? I'm JB Smoove, and that was a full episode of my new podcast, Straightforward, inspired by guaranteed straightforward pricing from AT&T Fiber. Get what you want without the complicated. AT&T Fiber, live like a gigillionaire. Available wherever you get your podcast. Limited availability in select areas. Visit AT&T.com/hypergig for details.
Welcome to this day in history class. It's July 12th. Today in 1917, the Bisbee deportation started in Arizona. So the Bisbee deportation seems really straightforward on its surface. There were workers at a collection of copper mines in and around Bisbee, and they went on strike. And fed up with all of these workers who were on strike, the sheriff and a posse of more than 1,000 temporarily deputized civilians rounded them all up and put them on a train and drove that train out of town. So that's weird. It seems like a bizarre overreaction to a labor dispute and a very strange way to handle one, but what actually was going on was a lot more complicated than that. This had happened before. Earlier in the week, a much smaller deportation happened in Jerome, Arizona, also in response to a strike. And then there had been other incidents in the American Southwest as well, with people being run out of town in the wake of labor disputes. One thing all of these deportations had in common, besides workers going on strike, was the involvement of the Industrial Workers of the World, also known as the Wobblies. The Industrial Workers of the World was possibly the most reviled labor organization in the United States at the time. All this was going on during World War I, and this was the only major labor union to speak out against the war. They were also against conscription. They didn't think people should be drafted into the military. And their leadership was also full of socialists. A lot of the other unions in existence at the time were really about working within capitalism to try to get the best working conditions and pay and benefits for the workers. That's not really what the Wobblies were doing. They were speaking against capitalism a lot. They were talking more about dismantling a capitalist system because it was damaging. So it was very easy for their critics to paint their work as anti-American and, in the context of World War I, as pro-German. They were so hated that even today, it's kind of hard to pick it apart to figure out what the legitimate criticisms were and which things were completely made up. So to get back to Bisbee, the key issues for the workers in the mines in Bisbee was not their pay. Their pay changed based on how much copper was selling for, which wasn't ideal, but they were actually more concerned about their safety and their working conditions. And when the Wobblies arrived in town, which was actually not that long before this strike happened, they took a set of demands to mine management that were mostly related to safety and working conditions. In other industries, managers had made some concessions to labor because they wanted to keep things going during the war, but that was not what happened in the mine industry in Bisbee. They rejected all of the demands completely. The industrial workers of the world called for a strike on June 26th. Now, these were legitimate issues. The issues that had been presented to management were legitimate. The frustration over all of those demands being just completely refused, also legitimate. But this wasn't the sort of thing that would normally lead people to strike. Even so, the strike went on for a couple of weeks without any violence until the town suddenly crossed a sort of mental threshold. They became convinced that these striking workers and the unions themselves had been infiltrated by Germans. Suddenly, this became a huge threat. They were frightened by the idea that there was a German element that was deeply embedded in all of these unions. This was mostly just a wartime anti-immigrant panic, and it was also being fueled by the local newspapers, which were owned by one of the mining companies. The sheriff and mine officials acted on their own in what they did. They didn't go to the army. They didn't go to federal authorities. They just decided they were going to round everybody up and take them out of town. So on the morning of the 12th, they moved through the town and they rounded people up at gunpoint. They forced people to go to Warren Ballpark and to wait in the stands there until a train got there. And then once the train was there, they forced everyone to either denounce the strike or to get on a manure-encrusted cattle car. Most of the people who decided to denounce the strike didn't actually work in the mines. A lot of the people who had been rounded up in all of this were basically bystanders. The train traveled 16 hours east to Columbus, New Mexico, where the people who had thought up this whole plan to just drop them off at Camp Furlong, but they hadn't really thought all that through very well. Camp Furlong didn't really have the facilities to just absorb a giant group of miners. So they backtracked to Hermanos, New Mexico, where these men spent the night in the desert. Eventually, the army came back, escorted them back to Columbus, provided them with rations, and assigned them to dig latrines. At this point, these men were all technically free to go, but where they wanted to go was home, to Bisbee, and Bisbee was not going to have them back. Bisbee had posted guards at all the roads to keep people from coming back into town, and they also established a kangaroo court where they tried people on just completely made-up charges and then had them evicted from town also. Most of the people who were out there for weeks or months, and they never got to go back home. Maybe they met their families somewhere else. Maybe they found work in another town, but their rights were never restored. And as is so often the case in these kinds of stories, there was an investigation, but nobody who arranged or participated in this deportation was ever convicted of any crime. There is so much more to say about this, and you can hear it in the May 2nd, 2018 episode of Stuff You Missed in History Class called The Bisbee Deportation. You can subscribe to This Day in History Class on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and wherever else you get your podcasts. Tomorrow's story also connects to labor, but it takes place during the American Civil War.
You wouldn't expect to hear that we're America's third best city for beer like this one. Or home to vibes like this. And this. It might surprise you that we're top 10 for immersive art that's like...
Whoa.
And...
Hmm.
Not to mention, we have one of the top zoos in the country. So can a city with the country's best pro soccer team, ranking as a top culinary destination in the world, be in your own backyard? Yes, Columbus. Plan your summer at experiencecolumbus.com/summer.
A collision between a Chinese jet and an American spy plane.
He came and rammed into our left wing.
With relations increasingly strained, what are the chances of things spinning out of control?
The Western world was asleep.
I'm Gordon Carrera. I'll be exploring the friction in this most important of relationships and asking, has the West taken its eye off the ball?
You cannot ignore China.
From BBC Radio 4, this is Shadow War, China and the West. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Have you ever wondered what it would be like to have supervision, enhanced hearing, extraordinary reflexes, to be, dare we say, superhuman? Well, Roku's new Pro Series TV can't do any of that for you. But with a 4K screen, side-firing speakers, and a blazing fast refresh rate, it'll sure feel like it. Elevate your entertainment using all your favorite apps like iHeart and play all your music, radio, and podcasts with the new Roku Pro Series. Your senses aren't better. Your TV is.
Zira Foxtrot isn't just a brand. It's a way of life. Founded and operated by veterans, Zira Foxtrot's unique apparel and gear echoes the grit of the warrior culture. Zira Foxtrot dedicates itself to producing content, honoring the sacrifices of forgotten heroes of the past, and connecting history to the present. Embark on a journey with Zira Foxtrot today at ZiraFoxtrot.com. It's not merely our products. It's about the ethos that we embody. Rugged, resilient, and timeless.